Hello, my spooky friends.
My name is Cassie.
And I'm Caitlin.
And welcome in to I'd Survive.
Hi, how are we doing today?
I'm
Cassie.
Caitlin, you know, have you not learned that you can't do that to me? I'm
that's
fine.
So true.
I'm fine. No, I actually am fine. I'm just busy. Like, that's all it is. We don't know how to answer, how are you? We just know, we know how to answer, what have you been up to? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what
so
my
true.
Brain takes when you say that. And I'm like, oh, girl, so much, but I'm fine.
So much, but I'm fine.
Yeah, so much, but I'm fine is my answer today.
That's good.
How about you?
I am good. I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm busy also.
Yeah.
Lots of things happening. I also spent the whole weekend out in the sun, which is like...
Great,
but then your body is like, yo, now you just need to sleep inside for a day.
The time to hibernate
takes everything out of you.
It does.
Also, my throat kind of hurts today, y'all. So if I don't have a voice by the end of this episode, just accept it. Just roll with it. We're going to be fine. It's great.
Totally.
So have you watched any horror since we last spoke?
So no.
So no. Okay,
but I
yes.
do have something to say.
You do?
I was working. I don't remember what I was doing. And I get a FaceTime from my sister. And she was telling me about a TikTok that came across her For You page that also came across mine.
Oh, dear.
And it was like trying to watch The Odyssey in theaters, but then having to deal with the other mommy trailer at the beginning.
So there's
this movie coming out this fall called Other Mommy.
Yes, I've seen the poster.
Okay. It's coming out October 9th. I know this because my sister called me and she was like, I saw this TikTok and I want to see it. And I was like, I saw that TikTok and I also want to see that. So we'll be there.
Perfect.
But it basically, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look bad. It just looks like they're turning Coraline into a horror movie with like demon possession.
Other mother
from Coraline.
Well, that's what like someone in my chat was like, oh, have you seen the trailer for Other Mother? And I went, Other Mother sounds so familiar to me. Why? And I Googled it and I was like, that's Coraline.
Yes.
And they were like, oh yeah, it's Other Mommy. And I was like, whoa, wait a second.
Exactly.
Hold
I feel
on.
Like it has to be Other Mommy because if they called it Other Mother, then it would be too Coraline. But like it already is. And I'm just like, maybe I'm going to see it in theaters. Maybe it's going to like be better than I expect, but I think no matter how good or bad, I think I'm going to have fun with that one.
Yeah. No, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm a little sad because I was like watching YouTube the other day and an unskippable ad came on and it was like a 15-second Insidious trailer. And like it didn't tell me much plot-wise, but like it showed a really good jump scare. And I hate when they do that because now I'm going to watch it and I'm going to go, here comes that jump scare, which is what happened to me with the really good jump scare and Smile.
Me too, with the head.
Yes, that's such a good jump scare, but it's in the trailer, so ruined. So yeah, I was sad about that. But that's okay.
Wow.
I did watch a couple things that I can speak to. I watched Final Destination 4.
Yes, which we kind of talked about.
We did. We discussed this a little bit. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, honestly.
Great.
Because I think it was still fun in that it was doing like crazy death sequences.
Yeah.
The acting in it was not superb.
Yeah.
And the plot was like, why did you guys even bother?
Yeah.
You didn't need that. But it was like, you know, fine.
An example of like the expectations helping you. For your experience, unlike what happened with Scary Movie.
Well, they really tried to warn me. I said it can't be that bad. And then I was like, oh, yes, it can.
Yeah.
Never mind. I also sat down this weekend to record my reaction to two episodes of the Chucky season one. And I was like, okay, great. Let me watch episode 7 and 8, thinking it was a 10 episode season. It was an 8 episode season. So I have officially finished season one of Chucky. And it was so good.
It is
so fun, especially because it really leans into just like let's bring this character back. Let's bring this little throwback.
And yeah, they do fan service in like the right way.
Yes, it's so well done from that perspective. And this was the first time, if you've watched it, you know, and if you haven't, this isn't really a spoiler to say this is the most I've ever hated Chucky because he's extremely brutal.
Yeah.
In the show in ways that I don't even think they do in the movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're just, it's shocking because you're like, no way did they
just do that. He does feel the most intimidating in the show.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
He made me very upset many times.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It was a good time. And I definitely am looking forward to the other seasons because there's three amazing of them. So we'll see.
Yeah.
And other than that, I did watch a movie called They Will Kill You.
Yes.
From 2026, which I texted Cassie and I said, it's called Someone Is Going to Kill You. And she was like, oh, that one. And I was like, yeah, I think that's what it's called. But we knew what we were talking about.
Yep.
This is a movie that I had been seeing a lot about a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked really fun. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what it is. This film is a 2026 South African American Canadian action comedy horror film.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
There's a lot to take in there.
Yeah.
It's got a lot going for it. It was directed by Kirill Sokolov and written by both himself and Alex Litvak, both people who are not, like, don't have a ton of credits that you would probably know. I didn't recognize anything. Okay. So
I love to see that every once in a while.
It had a budget of $20 million.
Wow.
Yes. And in the box office, grossed $19.4 million.
Oh.
So they...
Wait, this hit theaters? Is this on Netflix right now?
It is on HBO Max.
Why did I think this was a Netflix thing?
Okay. No, this did hit theaters, but the way it was marketed, it seemed like it was being marketed as a digital release.
Oh.
So I don't even think I realized it hit theaters until I was reading this. And I was like, oh, and it didn't even make its budget in the box office. So, I mean, almost. And I'm sure, you know, with digital, it'll do what it needs to do.
Yep.
But I was surprised by that.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also the very first film produced under the production company Nocturna, which was opened up by Andy and Barbara Muschietti, I believe is how you say the last name. That is the director. Andy Muschietti is the director of the It movies.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
So I guess he's got his own production company now, and this was the first film that they made. So, yeah. And before we get into this film today, just a reminder, if you didn't know already, we do have a Patreon where we have video versions of our podcast episodes along with bonus content, which is pretty fun, where Cassie and I do bonus episodes over there and they are just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Don't ask what they're about. You just got to see for yourself.
I want to try to edit a bonus episode this week, and the edit is going to be very interesting because there's a lot going on.
That is a weird one, and I look forward to that.
Yeah.
And also linked down below, you can find the links to our Instagram and also our Discord. And on Discord, you can also find the interactable worksheet, the same one that Cassie and I fill out during the episode. So if you want to play along and get your own score, then check out the Discord below. And with that all being said, are you ready to jump into They Will Kill You?
I think so.
Do you think they will kill you?
I think I'm going to be above 50%.
Is that what you think?
Okay. Yeah. I also don't know what they is. Like, who is who is they? Yeah. Is it aliens? Is it ghosts? Is it a group of people? I don't know.
It could be so many things.
So many things.
So many things. The options are really endless. All right. Our film opens on an extremely bizarre looking site. It is a golden mannequin family.
What?
Sitting around a table getting ready for dinner.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
It's like a display. And the mannequins are kind of like golden.
The mannequins are moving?
No, they're not moving.
Oh.
They're just being mannequins.
But they're eating?
Well, they're like at a table.
Like they're sitting in chairs?
Yes.
Why?
We're one line into this episode and we've already both lost. going to be one of those days.
What do you mean? It's just the way that you, like, just said it like it was normal. Like, you know, when you put, like, your golden mannequins around the table for dinner. Like, what are you talking? What do you mean? What's happening?
It's like a display of, like, a family about to have dinner.
Oh, like, it's tiny.
No, it's big. It's full
size. Why is it big?
Where are we?
Okay.
You know what? You don't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah, maybe we should just keep going.
It's not that big a deal.
Right, of course. Okay. But
now this next sentence is going to be...
Okay.
But they do look like they're probably pretty wealthy.
Because so they're just, gold.
Because they're gold and they just look fancy. And
yes, of course.
They're having I'm already crying. I know. Oh, my God. Then we get a quote that pops up on the screen. And it says, "When the poor give to the rich... the devil laughs."
Oh.
And that's
what
that.
Is that so, quote? Okay.
It had who said it.
It was just a guy. It's not like a Bible thing.
No, it was just like somebody said that at one point in their life. And
okay.
We ran with it. So on the other side of this glass display, out in the pouring rain, we have two girls who are looking at this display. The older girl here is Isabel, and the younger is her little sister, Maria. I would say Isabel seems like she's probably like 17. Mm. Maria seems like she's probably like 7, 8
Ooh, or so. Okay.
So Isabel calls for Maria to come along, and they head into a convenience store. Inside, Maria asks if she can get some fancy chocolates, but Isabel says no. They need to save until they get to New York. Maria seems doubtful that they're even going to make it to New York. What if he finds us, beats us again, and locks us in the basement?
Oh.
Which is a lovely thing to think about.
Okay.
Isabel assures her that they're going to be okay, and then rolls down her sleeve to show Maria her tattoo of a bird that she has on her wrist. It's a new tattoo that Isabel got to symbolize the fact that no one is going to cage them ever again.
Hmm.
Isabel heads off to the register, and Maria decides that she's going to sneak that fancy chocolate into her backpack. She's going to steal it. Just then, the doorbell up front rings. You know, the ones like above the door announcing the arrival of another customer. Maria sees them and then runs off to find her sister. "It's him," she says in a panic. Looking around the corner, Isabel can see that, yes, it is him. "Saw two girls come in here. Where the fuck are they?" this guy says to the cashier. Cashier directs him to the back, and he starts calling out for the girls. "Come on out. I promise I'm not mad," he says in a tone that's like he's honest. It's uncomfortable and a little scary.
Okay.
"I know things have been hard since Mom died, but we're a family and we've got to stick together," he continues.
Ooh.
Meanwhile, the girls have been trying to sneak their way to the front of the store so that they can escape. And they're about to make it out, but the security alarm goes off because Maria stole that chocolate, and it set off the alarms.
How is that? What do they got on that chocolate to set off the alarm?
I know. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So they take off running. Mm-hmm. Their father's in pursuit. Mm-hmm. And as he chases after them, there's a man in a car outside, and he like cuts them off. And I don't know who this man is. I think he's with the father, but it's not that important. But like he's also like trying to trap these girls.
Mm-hmm.
Isabel turns around to face her father and pulls a revolver from her bag, pointing it right at him.
Okay.
"You stupid little bitch," the father says. "What are you going to do? Shoot your own father?"
Yeah.
What? Like, yeah. Sounds like maybe she might.
Sounds like we've been locked in a cage or something. Like, yes, I will.
Actually, yes. "You'll never touch her again," Isabel screams back at him.
Ooh.
He insists that he can't let her take Maria. So he charges at Isabel, who does not hesitate in pulling the trigger, shoots him right in the chest, and he tumbles to the ground. Now time slows way down, and unsettling music takes over as Isabel freezes in place. The father, not dead, grabs Maria's ankle, and cops start pulling up to the scene.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if that's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Isabel turns and takes off running, leaving
did
her sister behind. I did. What was that?
Thunder.
Ooh! Atmosphere! Wait, I'm down for this.
Okay. Wow, that was crazy.
It is storming in the movie, so just think of it as atmosphere.
Okay. Wow. It's very loud.
So Isabel, she panics, she turns, and she takes off running, leaving her sister behind.
Oh, no.
Well, let's jump 10 years later.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm
solid
stressed.
10 years. Yes. So Isabel stands outside a large, old-looking building in New York, once again in the pouring rain. She rings the bell and looks over at the etchings around the entrance, and there is very much a, like, devil figure carved there. And
cool.
She raises an eyebrow at it. Like, that's kind of weird. It's just like a devil carved into the door.
Yeah.
But anyway, the door opens, and the queen herself appears, aka Patricia Arquette.
I just watched a Patricia Arquette movie called True Romance.
Oh, wait, she's in that?
Yes, she's like the lead in True Romance from like the 90s. It was like crazy when I first saw her on the screen. I was like, I had to be told that that was her. And I was like,
you're like, Harmony Cobell?
And then once you know, you see yes. it. But I'm like, whoa. Because yeah, I see her as like her older self from
yes.
her older roles.
Wait, that's so cool. Yeah. I'd be curious to see her in that because I just, yeah. just to put this picture in your head, she very much has the same demeanor as Harmony Cobell.
Okay.
From Severance. Like, she speaks the same way and everything.
Love.
It's beautiful. Oh, yeah. I just love her. She's so good. So she looks at Isabel and she's like, can I help you? Isabel introduces herself as the new maid, saying that she spoke with the superintendent a few days ago about her arrival. Luckily, she is in fact speaking to the superintendent, Lily Woodhouse. Lily asks for her ID and then lets her inside. And I do want to say, have you seen the original Suspiria?
Yes.
You have. This scene almost just like perfectly mirrors the opening scene or what like the close to opening scene in that movie when the girl arrives at the dance school in the rain and like is mm-hmm. being spoken to. And I like looked it up and it's everyone's
an homage.
Knows it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like clearly very intentional.
Oh,
and
love.
It's very cool. Once inside, Lily uses her key card to lock the front door behind them. Three large bars click into place. It's very dramatic. And Isabel's like, okay, whoa, that's a lot of locks.
Yeah.
And Lily just says, ah, it's a memento from olden times. She goes on to tell us that this building, the Virgil, was built in 1923 and is now one of the most exclusive buildings in all of Manhattan. She then tells Isabel that she has to surrender her phone while on the premises because the residents here require absolute privacy. Isabel's very taken aback by this new information as a woman, Miss Sharon, makes her way over to meet the new maid. She's a very wealthy resident here. She notices that Isabel is soaked and offers over her jacket to warm her up. Isabel, like, clearly is not interested. She's like, not really necessary, mm-hmm. but she just accepts it. And then Miss Sharon asks what happened to Isabel's eye, and she says, oh, I fell in the shower, which is clearly a lie, just, like, based on the tone yeah. and, like, the size of the gash in,
right.
on her face. But anyway, Lily's going to go ahead and show us to our room now. We make our way into a hallway where we can see a ton of maids all in matching outfits. The first floor is reserved for service staff, so this is where Isabel will be staying. On their way to her room, Lily excuses herself for a moment and walks into one of the open doors. Isabel glances inside, and the scene here closely resembles the mannequin scene from the start in the sense that it's like all these people around a table
oh.
and it's very fancy looking.
Yeah.
And I think that's intentional because like that's the only connection I see there
yeah.
with that mannequin scene. But this time it's maids instead of these like wealthy people.
Mm.
Lily walks in and very clearly, mind you, says, I have a new offering, pointing to Isabel. And all the maids stop and stare at her for a moment. And then a little boy walks up to her and burps before saying, hi, Piggy.
Oh.
And Isabel goes, excuse me? Before Lily walks up and tells Damien that that was not very nice.
Yep.
That's not very nice. So Isabel wants to know what, like, the girls around the table in there were celebrating. I guess they were. It didn't really look like they were celebrating, but sure. It's a small tradition, Lily says. One of our maids will be rewarded tonight for her dedication. These people came here with nothing. They were broken and lost. I gave them a place to belong. They arrive at Isabel's room and Lily goes to unlock the door, but gets a little scared because a man walks out of the room at the same time. And he too seems surprised to see Lily here.
Yeah.
Ray, what are you doing in there? Lily asks. He says he was just getting the trash, but Lily seems mad because she has told him before to stay away from the new arrivals. Ray's a little sassy. And I thought I told you to leave me the fuck alone, he says.
Ooh.
Lily goes, I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm still your boss and your wife.
Oh! Wow! Lovely!
Wild! Ray just mumbles and, like, starts to walk away. Love ya, Lily calls after him. Fuck off, he replies.
Wow.
This is a good time for me to bring up the energy of the film.
Okay, yeah.
Remember, it's comedy action, and it is so, to me, so similar in tone and feeling to Ready or Not.
Okay.
So,
yes.
That's the kind of energy you're going to be over the top.
Be ready for.
Characters, comedy. Yeah. Yes. So Isabel just watches this whole situation like, okay, that was weird. But Lily brings Isabel into her room and she does a little sweep, checking behind curtains and under cushions. She says her husband sometimes leaves things around that frighten the guests. So if she finds anything weird, just ignore it. But this is where Lily will leave her for the night. So Isabel goes ahead and settles in. She grabs some clothes to wear to bed and shoves her suitcase inside this like cabinet dresser thing of sorts. She takes a nice hot shower, and as the room fills up with steam, the mirror over the sink begins to fog up. The words, they will kill you, appear on the mirror as though someone wrote it there with their finger.
Okay, wait, so that's not totally supernatural. That's like someone,
it
that's
looks
possible.
Like someone wrote it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And it is kind of funny because it looks like it's almost CGI'd because it's used as like the title card for the movie. So it's got to be like nice and crisp.
Mm-hmm.
But then Isabel gets out of the shower, grabs her towel, and she suddenly like stares a little startled into the mirror. But she wipes away the condensation because she's actually just looking at the cut near her eye. So she didn't even see the message at all.
Okay.
So it's like not as clear as you initially think it is. When she leaves the bathroom, she hears some suspicious banging that sounds almost as though it's coming from within the walls.
Oh, God. That's one of my biggest fears, actually, like stories
really?
Of people, like squatters in your walls.
Ooh.
You know, there's like a whole, there's so many stories, people being like, oh, this man was living in my walls for like a year and I just didn't know.
That's so insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
I take mild solace in the fact that my house is, the integrity of this place is just, there's no room.
Yeah. Yeah.
To fit.
Me too.
So thank God for that,
yeah.
I suppose.
Love thin walls.
Mm-hmm. So Isabel goes and grabs a chair and she peers into the vent in the wall and she even takes out her lighter to get a better look. But then a sudden thud sends her flying off her chair and onto the floor. And that hurt. She's like feeling it. Then she hears a loud laugh out in the hallway and goes to take a look.
Oh.
The hallway is quiet, deserted. And then the lights start shutting off one by one down the hall toward Isabel until she remains in the pitch darkness. The lights kick back on all at once, but these are different lights, much dimmer, more like nightlight vibes.
Mm.
Down the hall behind Isabel stands a figure cloaked in black robes and maybe some sort of devilish mask, but it slowly turns and walks away down the other hall before Isabel turns around.
Mm.
Isabel's spooked, so when she gets back to her room, she locks the door and then uses a chair to like put under the door handle so that someone couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And then she heads to bed.
Mm-hmm.
At 3:17 a.m., while Isabel is fast asleep, we hear a beep and then a click, as though someone has just unlocked the door to her room.
Great.
With a key card. Then the handle slowly turns on the door. But that chair that Isabel placed there blocks the path of the handle, making it impossible to open the door. And the intruder does fight a little bit against it, but then gives up pretty quickly. We can hear the footsteps go a little further down the hall before seeming to possibly enter the room next door. Some soft thuds as we pan over to the vent. The face of a figure appears within and then moves away. We continue to pan over to the fridge, and as we cut to a sleeping Isabel, we hear the fridge door open with the rattle of bottles stored on the door. Cutting to a wide angle, the figure cloaked in black now stands over Isabel's bed, watching her sleep.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, it's cute. It's cute and quirky. He glances down at her feet and then takes a nice big lick off her toes.
What? Oh, yep. My God. What's the movie that does that?
Wait, what? What movie does that?
You, like, wake up in the middle of the night and then this girl is, like, attached to his toes.
Ew, what?
No, it's a really popular movie and I remember it, like, being really traumatic, a really traumatic experience for me. And now I'm reliving it, it feels.
Was it a horror movie?
Yeah. It might have been. Oh, my God. Do you think if I Google.
Yeah, Google that.
Toe licking horror? Do you think that would work?
I think you should do that.
Toe.
Because I am curious.
Licking. I feel like it's a really popular one that you've definitely seen. Mm-hmm. Talk to Me.
Oh.
It happens in Talk to Me. Deeply unsettling scene where a possessed Talk to Me, spoilers. A deeply unsettling scene where a possessed undead old woman crawls toward a character and aggressively sucks on his toes. Oh, I remember that.
I somehow do not remember that, which is honestly more disturbing to me.
You're like, well, yeah, it happens.
That's just like another day in the life. Okay.
Okay. So that's what I'm seeing in my mind. That's awesome.
Good. We also get a glimpse at the figure's face now, and it's giving pig.
Oh.
Yeah, like pig snout.
Oh, what are they? So this is a them, I'm assuming, of the they that will kill you.
Yeah.
And they have pig faces.
Yeah, we'll continue. And
okay.
Don't worry. Well, worry, but you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So the figure grunts as it looms over Isabel, and then a drop of its saliva falls upon her cheek.
I don't want that. I don't.
Are you sure?
I'd rather them eat my toes. Because I don't want their saliva to accidentally get into my mouth.
Ew.
Yeah.
Valid, yeah. Slowly and then suddenly, Isabel jolts up, feeling for the moisture on her cheek.
Yeah.
After a moment, the pig figure envelops Isabel from behind, holding a cloth to her face. He holds on tight as Isabel strongly fights back. She manages to launch her feet into the air and kick off the wall, sending her and her attacker backwards. They fall into the counter where the attacker hits his head hard on the edge and falls to the ground with Isabel.
What the heck? I thought she was going to wake up and he was going to, like, not be there.
She didn't see him at first because he was, like, hidden in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And then he just was like, bleh.
Mm-hmm.
So they fall against the refrigerator door as it begins to rumble. Isabel crawls away. She's kind of out of it. Her vision's a little blurry. And she leaves that figure's body against the door that is now trying to, like, open. It seems like the fridge is trying to be opened up. At the same time, someone else bangs on the vent until it falls into the room. And then another person tries the door again.
Oh, my God.
Isabel's vision, again, continues to blur as she crawls for the nightstand. She reaches for the lamp, pulls the cord out from it, and then falls backward unconscious as four different cloaked and masked figures enter her room. So they are masks.
Yeah.
They're just very disturbing looking masks.
Mm-hmm. And it's weird because did he grunt like a man or like a pig?
I think like a man. Actually, as I was reading that line, I went, I don't remember him doing that, but sure.
Mm.
You know.
Okay, interesting.
Sometimes it'd be like that.
Yeah.
She's out, one of them, Kevin says, leaning over Isabel. Mm. Kevin played by Tom Felton, if you care.
That's Draco?
Draco Malfoy.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, oh, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Another figure removes her mask, and this is Sharon from earlier who we met, and she notes that the first figure who entered the room, his name was Bob, the first guy, he's also out. Why didn't he wait for us? Kevin asks. Sharon believes it's because he fucks them. This line is, like, said very comedically, but to me it's, like, a weird joke to put in the script. Like, it's not...
That's not funny.
It's not funny at all. Like, that's too weird. I don't know. I don't like that part.
With the tone they're trying to pull. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, ew. Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Sharon goes to move Isabel's body, dragging her by her feet, when Isabel opens her eyes. Sharon looks at her curiously, still holding her feet. What the? She says as Isabel bites into the lamp cord, sending shockwaves through her own body and into Sharon. Sharon flies across the room and onto the table. Isabel stands up with a scream, her own body smoking.
What? Oh my God, how is Isabel okay? Sharon's body smoking.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. Motherfucking shit, she yells. And then she just runs this is Isabel, runs and closes herself inside the dresser cabinet thing. And all of these figures just kind of stand there like, huh? What? So Kevin walks to the cabinet telling Isabel, you know, come out, come on out of there. But she just screams insults back at him. He then looks to his friends and says, come on, guys. It's just one girl. Tell that to Bob, Sharon replies, as Bob sits up with a massive gasp for air. In the meantime, Sharon's been breaking all the legs off the table. She takes one for herself, handing the other three to Bob and two of the other figures. They all stand outside the dresser ready to pounce as Kevin opens up the door. He laughs, seeing Isabel sat on the floor of the cabinet. Gotcha, he says. But then a small smirk creeps across Isabel's face. She whips out a machete and beheads Kevin.
What the heck? That was so fast.
Yeah.
The cameo.
I know. Quick cameo.
Okay.
Cute cameo. So Tom Felton's head falls to the floor as blood squirts from his neck in like this over-the-top comedic sort of way.
Yeah.
There's like a fountain of blood squirting out of his neck. And Isabel reaches back for her bag, pulls out a shotgun, and shoots one of the nameless figures that we don't know, sending him flying backwards. Wow. Sharon kicks the shotgun from Isabel's hands, and an insane, beautifully choreographed, over-the-top, hilarious fight plays out. Isabel swings the machete at one point and cuts off this guy's foot and hand simultaneously. He's like reaching down to get the shotgun, and she just slices them both off. He goes to scream, but then she sends her machete right into his mouth. Then Isabel takes on two people at once, blocking every single attempted blow. She slides herself under the bed and then pops up through the bed frame, holding the mattress in front of her like a shield. She slides it across the floor, pinning Sharon and another figure against the wall. She uses her machete to poke holes through the mattress until she makes contact with one of them, stabbing him over and over and over until he dies. Sharon grabs a shotgun and shoots right through the mattress at Isabel, but Isabel ducks in time, of course. Sharon looks through the hole that she created as the mattress falls forward, sending feathers flying around Isabel as she stands there bloodied and badass. It's very cinematic. Sharon and Isabel end up back in combat when a barely conscious Bob throws his knife across the room in an attempt to help. But the knife lands square in Sharon's back, who falls to the ground screaming. One swift knock to the head from Isabel shuts her up. Bob stumbles out of the room, attempting to run away, but it's pretty sad because bro is really not doing
well.
Isabel confidently struts out of the room into the hall after him. Bob is crawling now, so she simply puts a foot on top of his back and stands there. A slow clap sounds from down the hall. It's Lily. That was unexpected, she says. Yes, Lily is
in charge.
Yes, Patricia.
Yes.
Our queen, Patricia. Isabel gives Bob one quick stab to the back just to finish him off. I have questions, Isabel says to Lily. But Lily wants... But Lily wants just a few. Nothing too concerning.
Yeah.
But Lily wants her to answer hers first. The delivery on this is so good.
Okay.
But I can't do it.
Yeah.
So Lily just goes, who... the fuck are you? She screams this down the hall.
Okay.
And then text pops up on the screen that just says Asia Reeves.
Oh.
So that's a name.
Oh.
So flashback to 10 years earlier.
Oh.
As Isabel, aka real name Asia, runs away from the crime scene where she had shot her father. I made the biggest mistake of my life, she says. I should have protected my sister, but I panicked and ran. Her father survived the shot, and Maria got put back in his custody. Eventually, Asia got caught and ended up in prison until about a month ago. She had hired a PI to try and track down her sister for her, and he had traced her phone back to this very building, the Virgil. The PI knows that the Virgil is a sketchy place. People that get hired there often go missing, but no one seems to care since the people they hire are generally minorities, illegals, and people off the street. And the people there are rich, so the cops just, they stay out of it. But get this. One of Maria's old coworkers just got offered a job at the Virgil as well, and she was going to start next month. We cut to Asia at this coworker's door. The door of Isabel Davison. who we now know she stole the identity of.
Okay.
So back to present day. My name is Asia Reeves. She sounds confident as she says this to Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And I have come here for my sister, Maria.
Mm-hmm.
And Lily's like, wow, you must love your sister very much to risk your life for her. And Asia demands to know where Maria is. I'd like to help you, Lily responds. But I too have a family to care for. A rather unusual family with rather unusual needs. She nods with a smile down the hall. And Asia turns to see all of the cloaked figures walking out of the room. One hops on one foot carrying his limbs.
What?
Sharon gives her a smile. Kevin carries his own head in his arms before
what?
Placing it back upon his neck
what?
Where the skin fuses together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Tom Felton's back. Don't worry.
That makes more sense.
This makes more sense now. The other figure does the same with his severed hand and foot, just like puts it right back on. Another maid walks out from her room. And Lily tells her to grab the blade from Asia. Asia buries the blade into the girl's stomach, and the girl holds on tight. So Asia has to leave the blade behind and make a run for it.
Mm-hmm.
She goes into the maid's room and slams the door behind her. What did you do to my mom, you bitch? The little boy we met earlier screams. Asia tells him to shut up as she barricades the door, but the boy comes up behind her and stabs her in the back with a screwdriver.
Oh my God.
Asia gives him a clean sock to the face, and he goes down. Out in the hall, Lily reminds Sophia, the stabbed maid, that when she resurrects, she will need to clean up the blood from her own murder.
Love that.
Yeah. Sophia agrees and then, in quotes, I put, dies, because we're going to have to deal with that today. And that is the end of Act 1.
Right. So right. Remember when I said I'd be in above 50%?
I laughed. I was like, okay.
Yeah. I could see it in your face that you were like, oh, interesting. But I was like, nah.
Nah, I
like
got
with
this.
The vibe, all I knew about the movie was I had a certain vibe that about it. I mean, maybe it's because it's like that comedy
right
aspect that I was like, well, it'll probably be fun fine. No.
Yes. And then you find out that Asia is the baddest of badasses.
Yeah, exactly.
And is also essentially fighting immortal people. So.
Oh, man. You know what this is actually reminding me of a little bit in tone? Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
I've heard of this, but I've never seen it.
It's like, comedy action. That's probably why I'm getting it. It feels like very similar in tone and like. There's just these badass, like, face-off energy. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And to me, the whole time I'm watching it, I'm just thinking of Ready or Not and Ready or Not 2.
Yes.
Because it's clearly taking from that, especially, like, the camera work and, like, the set design. The set design is very bright and colorful and crisp. You know, it's got that feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I only have two questions for you.
Ooh.
In Act 1. Could you fight off 5 immortal beings in a small hotel-like room?
I'm sad to say it, but actually 0.
You're going to go 0?
I think I'm going to go 0. Okay.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. I did 7.
Okay.
Only because she brought a shotgun and a machete. That's the only reason.
Okay, I do have those two things.
Myself a little tiny bit of grace.
I'm gonna give myself a 2% though, then.
That's fine.
For each weapon.
Yes. Perfect. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
And then would you let your sister fend for herself as opposed to going undercover and trying to save her?
0.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I did 12 just because I don't have confidence in
myself.
Like,
my sister. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't just like don't really care. No. I would be scared and I'm a wimp and a baby. So just as a reminder, when we talk about these scores too.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, just because of how things work, you cannot put a 0 on the worksheet. It breaks it. So if you're thinking 0, just go 1. It's really, there's no difference.
Yep.
If you're filling out the worksheet yourself. So those are your only 2 questions.
Cool.
So what did you get?
So my Act 1 score is 1%.
Okay. So that's great.
What is
so
yours?
We're doing well. Like mine is 10. A 10.
Yeah.
So we're off to an awesome start.
Awesome.
Good for us.
Yeah.
We're going to do so good. They actually might kill us.
Yeah, they will kill you, right? Maybe I should have taken that more seriously.
We're not joking. Yeah. All right, act two, here we come. So Lily yells into the room that Asia should really just give up. The entire building is completely locked down. She has no way out, but Asia is not one to give in that easy.
Can I just ask, is the energy, or did I miss something, where this is just a place with immortal fighting beings?
Yeah.
Her sister ended up here. She's going to fight them to save her sister.
Yep.
And this is just like accepted. Did she know what she knew what she was walking into?
No. She just knew it was a sketchy building.
Yeah. Is she like not surprised by like the immortal beings?
No, she's definitely surprised.
Okay. She's just like, that much of a badass.
She's just the most badass. Like that's her personality, is like, how badass can I be?
She just accepts it and is like, okay, let me cut you then.
Yeah. Let me get you good.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
But it does seem that Lily isn't lying about this place being impossible to break out of, because Asia is currently trying to break the locked windows in the room and they just won't break at all. She's like throwing chairs and they're just bouncing off the glass, so to speak. So as the figures try to break down the door, Asia is searching for any way out of the room. The vent won't budge. But when Asia pulls back the carpet, she discovers a trap door in the floor. She jumps inside to discover an underground tunnel system that seems to connect all of the rooms. But these are like vent-sized tunnels, so it's more like vents, but you can only crawl in them. And Bob's already within the tunnel system, so Asia has to stay hidden and quiet until he passes. She collapses for a moment in exhaustion, but then she glances down at her wrist and sees her bird tattoo. A reminder that she could never be caged again. So she keeps going. Asia crawls through the system until she overhears Kevin yelling at Lily about how her job was to find someone nice and helpless for the ceremony. Does anything about that vicious bitch seem nice and helpless to you? Lily is like, well, there are literally five of you, so there's that. And Kevin's like, she was armed. And Lily goes, and you're immortal.
Yeah, yeah, fair.
Literally. Asia comes up on a crack that she can kind of see through into this room where the quote-unquote family is gathering. They're talking about how they owe an offering tonight, so they really need to find Asia ASAP. Asia reaches through the crack and like moves what she can't tell from her angle are books out of the way. She's peeking through like a crack in a bookshelf. So she's in the walls now. Her movement of the books is heard by the family. So they all like, shh, for a moment. Like, did you hear that? What was that? And Lily just walks straight up to the bookcase and slides it open, revealing Asia just standing there behind it. Oh, and then Asia just reaches for the door and closes it. And then Kevin starts poking the machete through the wall. And Lily's all, don't kill her, you idiot. But Kevin promises he's just going to cut her up a little bit. So Asia's dodging the knife along the walls when, unfortunately, it makes contact with her palm and it goes straight through her, pinning her to the wall. The family comes through the bookcase and looks at Asia trapped there. Lily was like, see, running is pointless. You could have avoided the pain, but now here we are. Asia looks her right in the eye as she pulls her hand downward, letting the knife slice her from the palm through the gap between her ring finger and pinky.
My answer is no, by the way, to that question.
Yes, this is a question.
Oh my God.
I know. I thought long and hard on this one. I was like, would I do that? This reminds me of, I won't say the movie because spoilers, but another movie we did on the podcast where it was like, could you bite off your thumb?
Yes.
And it was like, yes. Maybe in the most dire of situations, but I don't think so.
I don't think so, yeah.
And honestly, this is easier than biting off your own thumb. But
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
No.
Eat shit, Asia screams before turning and running off.
Wow.
Sharon takes one shot with the shotgun and misses. And again, Lily is like, the fuck are you doing? We need her alive. Asia has dropped down in the tunnel system again and is crawling away as fast as she can. Her hand is obviously also messed up now, so that's a little bit of a struggle.
Sharon, just imagine it, like, being floppy.
It's luckily like, it's not.
Oh, good.
It's still, like, very solid.
Okay, good.
But it's very bloody, which is not great. Sharon and Kevin drop in after her and split up, determined to find her. Mm-hmm. And Sharon actually does find her quite quickly, and a fight ensues between the two. Fight honestly might be the wrong word, though, because Asia kicks her in the face and then repeatedly stabs her with the screwdriver, like blood just spraying everywhere. Mm-hmm. Sharon goes limp just long enough for Asia to steal the shotgun back and also wrap her hand. Sharon wakes up and pounces on Asia. "I'm sick of you killing me," she shouts. But Asia holds the shotgun to her head and pulls the trigger. Sharon's head explodes, blood, skin, and brain matter everywhere.
Yeah.
And Asia looms over Sharon, seeing if she might really be dead this time.
Nah.
But of course not. The headless Sharon starts blindly crawling at her.
Ew.
And I'm not gonna lie, it's so creepy.
Yeah.
It's so bad. That. The neck stump is just like
crawling is already crawling. Bad, and then it's like a neck stump crawling is just next level.
And you're like, really can't be here for this.
Yeah.
They reach a place where the path splits, and Sharon crawls neck first right into the wall. Mm. And Asia stays quiet so that Sharon only has a 50-50 shot of choosing the correct direction because she can't see. Lucky for her, Sharon chooses the wrong way, and she crawls down the other hall.
Okay.
Asia takes a moment to breathe, but then hands reach out of the darkness, cover her mouth, and pull her into a dark corner.
What if it's her sister?
Could be.
I hope.
Let's see. Suddenly, Kevin rounds the corner and just crawls on by. And then we hear a voice whisper, "You didn't get my message on the mirror."
Oh, okay.
Both Asia and Ray crawl out from the darkness. Ray is...
Oh, the worker, the husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
Asia's like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And he's like, "The shit you're in is deeper than you can imagine." And then text reading "The Virgil" appears on screen. And Ray fills us in a little bit on the history of this place.
I wonder if they are inspired by weapons at all with this editing style.
Oh, that kind of, yeah, there is.
You know, like sectioning off
sections,
storytelling in that way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. He starts out by saying, "This building is a temple for Satan."
Oh, okay.
Of course, you know, just casual, like.
Oh my God. So we're literally sacrificing to Satan.
Oh, to Satan himself, yes.
Wow.
This also is why people talk about connections between this and Suspiria, because it's like very much like a very similar story, just done differently.
Yeah.
Which is really fun.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, long before this building even existed, their ancestors had made a deal with the devil. Immortality in exchange for human sacrifices. And as long as your name, you don't want immortality.
No,
I don't either. That sounds awful.
Yeah,
but that's okay. As long as your name is on the list, you cannot die. So what they do is they lure in unsuspecting souls to use as sacrifices. But sometimes they actually end up inviting them into the family instead. They're given the opportunity to prove themselves through hard work that they are worthy of joining the family on the list. But then if you fuck up at any point, your name can also just be removed from the list.
Oh my gosh.
Take it right off. So it's kind of toxic.
Yeah.
Asia's like, I blew this bitch's head off and she's still alive. Like, is there really no way to kill him? And Ray straight up is like, did you listen to anything I just said? Like,
usually there's like one thing, like one secret thing. I'm curious about if the movie's going to go that direction or stick with it.
Mm-hmm. He is essentially like, whatever happens to them, they can like grow back limbs. They can grow back whatever they need. Now, while this has been occurring, oh, I forgot. Okay. How could I forget? A disembodied eyeball has been emerging from a pile of flesh, and it seems to have its own consciousness.
Cute. It's kind of like Thing, like the hand from Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
Or Adam's Family.
Yeah, this is an eyeball.
Oh, maybe and he's nice.
It's Sharon.
Oh.
It's just her eyeball.
Oh.
So.
I was hoping we were just going to have like an eyeball sidekick.
No, if only.
Man.
So Sharon's consciousness is like split right now. Like she is still the headless being, but her eyeball is also just doing its own thing. But she is now able to just follow Ray and Asia around. Like she's just rolling around. And unfortunately, this eyeball also has like the tendril part on it.
Oh, yes.
So it's like flapping around. It's really awful. So Ray's explaining that even a sliver of skin is all that's needed to keep living when you're on the list. Even if you're completely burned, but you got a little like hangnail, you're going to reform. You're fine.
So then, you know, total fire
mm-hmm.
could be the way.
It does sound like that based on what he says, yes.
Okay.
They're climbing up a vent from the first floor to the second floor, and they're like back against one side using their feet and their hands to like pull themselves up. It's crazy. I'm like, couldn't be me.
No.
Not at all. And the eyeball's like, well, I need to follow them up there. So how does it get up there? It flings itself with its tendril and then ping-pongs up the chute.
Does that look – is it funny?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's very goofy.
I love that.
Eyeballs flying around. This is also when Asia and Ray crawl over a vent that looks down into the room below, showing us a massive orgy that is taking place. And Asia's like, what is this place? And
who? People we don't know?
Yeah, they're just people who live here, like a lot of like the wealthy residents of the building.
Are we supposed to assume that they are immortals? Like people who live here are in the family?
Pretty much,
like any residents, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
They use family loosely, not like blood. It's just like anyone on the list is family.
Yes.
So she's like, what's this place? And Ray slowly turns around and just says, fuck floor. Immortality gets boring after a while. So I guess each floor in this place caters to different vices.
I see.
To keep them
Oh my gosh. I'd be on that food floor day and night.
Ooh. Be a glutton.
Yeah, that would absolutely be me if I ended up here.
That's so true. Oh my God, yeah. Mm-hmm. You'd be immortal. So
I think that yours would probably be, I could just see you being like sloth. Just like sleeping. You're just like laying around.
Doing literally like, nothing.
Leave me alone. Let me go to sleep.
Let me go to bed. Yeah. Honestly, I would like that.
Yeah,
I would like that a lot.
Hmm.
Asia chooses now to ask why he's even helping her if he's one of them. And he just says, I have my reasons. And then keeps going. He leads them to a room where they drop inside. And there's a maid in there. And when she turns around, Asia just says, Maria?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Maria looks back on her blood-soaked sister with fear in her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing here? She asks. Asia tells her that she's here to save her and fills her in on the fact that this place is actually a satanic cult and they use human sacrifices.
Well, I think Maria knows that.
I know. Maria responds pretty plainly. And then we get the text, Maria Reeves, popping up on the screen. So we're going to see how she got here. Maria was working as a maid for a nasty, horrible, manipulative, terrible, disgusting man.
Oh.
And they show her like scrubbing the floor of his bathroom and there's literally shit everywhere.
Oh.
It's so fucking gross.
What the hell?
It's so gross. And one day, Maria gets in trouble with him for calling him a fucking asshole behind his back. So someone like told on her.
Oh.
And Maria's extremely apologetic. But the man says that there's, you know, really only one way she could make it up to him.
Okay.
And it's exactly what you would think.
Yeah.
So she leaves that night.
Okay.
And yes, thank God. And she, well, thank God, but also she finds a flyer for the Virgil.
Yeah.
So she heads there and is taken inside unconscious. We don't see how. She just like suddenly wakes up and she is surrounded by people in black robes. And Lily is there in the front and tells her that, even though it doesn't seem like it, is actually her lucky day. Ordinarily, we would slit your throat in the name of our Lord, but one of our maids was just caught stealing, she explains. So Maria will be able to take her place instead of being the sacrifice. Lily's all, we can take care of you. You can find a place where you finally belong. And she really makes it sound quite lovely. And I guess it did work on Maria, because here we are. This is my home now, she says to Asia. I'm not going anywhere with you. The eyeball has also now perched itself at the opening of the ceiling and is like watching this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So Sharon is aware of this. Asia tells Maria that she's not going to leave without her. You already have. Maria says, remembering that night when she was a kid.
Yeah, I was afraid that we would have this energy.
Yeah. She tells Asia that she doesn't need her now. She needed her when she was a kid and their father was beating her.
Yeah.
But now she's too late. They share some harsh words that then turn into like a fuck you war. Like they just keep screaming fuck you back and forth. It like, it's kind of comedic.
Yeah.
And then Asia just punches Maria in the face, knocking her out.
Oh.
So that's nice. Asia says to Ray that this changes nothing. Mm-hmm. She is still taking Maria with her, and she needs to know how to get out of here. Ray explains that this place is designed to be a death trap. It's essentially impossible to escape.
Of course.
Unless, of course, you go to the ninth floor. But you really don't want to go to the ninth floor. But there is a fire escape ladder up there. So that's just good to know, I guess.
Okay.
I actually missed this the first time that I watched this movie. And the second time I went, oh my God, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. So we look back at the eyeball, right?
Oh.
And a spider crawled on it.
Oh.
And the eyeball's like trying to shake off the spider. But then it falls into the room. Yeah. And everyone notices. So Asia turns and she immediately knows that this eyeball is Sharon.
Yeah.
So she takes it in her hand and she just squeezes it in her fingers and like exposes the eyeball.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really gross. Ugh. So Kevin then, he's going to run into headless Sharon in the tunnel system. And she mimes to him where Asia is. So she is trying to tell him that she's on the fuck floor. So she does a lot of interesting miming here to tell us where she's at. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yes, she's found her sister. Kevin alerts the whole crew to this new information. Ray and Asia, carrying Maria, by the way, because she's still unconscious, race down the hallway being chased by members of the family. Mm-hmm. Ray helps Asia into the dumbwaiter at the end of the hall with Maria and holds off the family long enough for them to get away.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think this is, I don't know if this is like, you know this for sure, whatever, but is this like Lily finding out for the first time that Ray is against them?
Yeah, she's surprised.
Okay, yeah. Wow.
She's surprised. So Asia and Maria end up in the kitchen. I do not know if they went up or down. I cannot tell. But they hide as Bob barrels his way inside. He paces the kitchen looking for the girls as Asia has hidden them on like a low metal shelf surrounded by pots and pans. Mm-hmm. But then Maria wakes up and nearly screams. But luckily, like, Asia thought to gag her and is like, shh, don't say anything. But it doesn't really matter, I guess, because Bob heard them anyway. He grabs Asia by the foot, dragging her out from the shelf. He whacks her across the face with a metal pipe, and it really is not looking good.
Yeah.
But then Bob grunts and goes still. W. Maria, she sent an axe straight through his head. Now, this is going to answer your question a little bit here. We're going to cut to a private room where Lily has tied Ray to a chair.
Okay.
And is asking him why. Why were you doing that? Why were you helping them? What is going on? And he says that he's tired of paying the bill with blood. He's over it. And Lily's like, why now? Why were you okay with it for 100 years?
Oh.
And he says that this neighborhood used to be a shithole. And they took bad people to sacrifice, but now they take good, innocent people. And he's not really chill with that.
Okay.
Lily gets all emo and reminds him what life was like for them before they found the Virgil. The whole world was against them, and the Virgil was the only place that accepted them. And I think what she's referring to here is the fact that she is white and Ray is black. So
okay.
They were not accepted.
Yep.
She really thinks the Virgil is a home for them, but Ray sees it as a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin comes in to retrieve Lily, but before she leaves, Lily essentially threatens him, saying that if she cares about them at all, he should really consider his next move carefully. Sharon walks in now. She's got a very, very tiny head because she's in the process of growing it back. So she's just going to stay here and watch Ray.
I do fear Ray is going to die.
It does give that feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's not like too
good
feeling.
Well, he's not that good because he was still like killing people. I mean, he justified it and was like, well, it was bad people, but like, you don't know that for sure. I'm sure he was just convincing himself that they were to make himself feel better.
And I think that is exactly like the energy. Like, there's more dialogue there. And I do think that is true.
Yeah.
Lily makes a building-wide announcement that their offering is on the loose within the Virgil. I just dropped her picture in the group chat, Lily explains, and then urges everyone to grab a weapon and start hunting. So they do.
How many do you think there are, by the way?
At least 100.
Whoa.
People. And I just have to say that casting Patricia Arquette as Lily is like the most perfect. Mm-hmm. It only works because it's her and just because of the way she delivers lines, and she's so funny and she's so good at everything. So back with Asia and Maria. Maria seems kind of mad at Asia, telling her that she picked another fight that she can't win. But she also refuses to just watch her sister die.
Mm-hmm.
Maria intends on helping Asia escape, but doesn't want to leave herself.
Okay.
Maria leaves the room, and Asia sneaks after her through a dark, fancy reception hall. But there's a cloaked figure in there who sneaks up behind her and slams her into a table. Asia whips around, fighting back. It really is quite dark in here, so she can't see who or what she's swinging at, but she quickly discovers there is definitely more than one person in here with her. She stumbles out of the dark room into the brightly lit hallway. She grabs a cloth and wraps it around the axe that she's been carrying, then lights it on fire as a whole herd of figures loom in the doorway. There's like at least a dozen here.
Yeah.
She gets ready to fight when one of them pushes their way to the front, revealing that they have captured her sister, Maria. She charges straight for them and back into the dark room. Now, here we get a very lengthy and cool fight sequence of
in the
Asia
light of the fire.
Absolutely annihilating everyone with her fire axe.
Yeah.
Again, like a dozen people. And there is, oh my God, there's an absolutely diabolical moment where Asia, so she picks up a table and throws it across the room. And then she flies through the air a remarkable distance after it. This is all in slow motion. The figure that she's thrown the table at shoots through the table and it splits in two, opening up a path for Asia to fly through and slice the figure perfectly down the middle head to toe with the axe.
It's kind of giving Sharknado.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, like yes. Chainsaw. Absolutely insane, over the top. You get the vibes.
Yeah, amazing.
The sprinklers turn on, putting out the scattered fires around the room, and Maria emerges from the darkness, reuniting with Asia once again. Maria finally embraces her sister, saying, "I missed you. I'm sorry." And she apologizes over and over and over again, but Asia just keeps telling her that it's okay.
Okay.
The figures around the room start waking back up. "We have to get out of here," Asia says. So off they run together. And that is the end of Act Two.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Still dead.
Still dead?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think you're going to do much better here?
No. No.
You might. You might.
Okay. Let's see.
Could you pull your hand from the machete, freeing yourself from the wall?
I'll go 4.
Okay. Wow. I did say 31.
Wow. I don't think.
Put yourself in the.
I know.
You have to. That's.
I think I would just die.
You would just give up. You say, you know what? That ain't worth it.
Because I don't want to run around with floppy hand.
It's like
I know in the movie it's not very floppy, but I'm just imagining like just a cut all the way from there to there. Yeah. It's going to flop around. I think my brain would rather die.
Okay. I understand.
I don't want to die. It's like very clearly. Yeah. It's very clearly like the right thing to like take a hand injury then choose death. Mm-hmm. But like I just don't think I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just imagining life or death like that thing that kicks in. The survival
I hope
instinct.
I have that. Well, I hope I never have to find out if I have that. But
well, true.
I do hope I have that. I just like can't imagine.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair. This is your saving grace question.
Ooh.
Could you convince your sister to help you escape after she spent the past 10 years feeling abandoned by you and now feels like she has found a new home? I know there's a lot there.
Well, but. I would do the same thing. I would like knock her out and like carry her out of there if I needed to. So like convince, I mean, it seems like going to that extreme made Maria be like, it made her come around and I would go to that extreme.
Right.
So yes, I would. So I'm high. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I'm thinking about my two sisters. One of them is very stubborn and one of them is not. So it's like kind of a different answer for each.
You're like, which
so I'll go
one
in the middle.
It?
I'll go 95.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I did 82.
Yeah.
I would think I'd be able to. I mean, not that I think what Asia did was like so horrible when she left her sister. I think she just panicked.
Mm-hmm.
But I can imagine being like really mad about that.
Well, I think what hurts is how long it took, how long it's been since she's come to find her.
Yeah.
Because, like, I get the panic in the moment, but then it's like, why did you not? I'd, like, break her out and get her, run away with her, like, next week, you know?
I think I already said this, so okay. I'm going to go ahead and say it. She's been in prison this whole time.
Oh, I completely missed that if you said it.
Yeah, I think I said it.
Okay. Probably.
If I didn't, it's a spoiler.
Oh.
But I'm pretty sure okay. She has. I'm pretty sure I said that earlier. I don't remember.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, final question. Could you fight off over a dozen armed immortal people with your fire axe?
I wouldn't even know how to make a fire axe.
I know. She thought to do that, which is crazy.
could I? Okay. The power of love. My sister's in there. Mm-hmm. I just got to swing away and hope for the best.
Swing away, baby.
I'm going to go high here and I'm going to go 10%.
You're going to go high. I respect that. I respect that. I gave myself a 3.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
I think it's the weapon itself that helps. We're just like, just keep swinging. Yeah. You know?
The fire does help a little bit.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's not bad.
Okay, I did come up to a 37%.
All right, I had a 39.
Okay.
So I expected us to be around the same on that one.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Lovely.
All right, great. So it is final act time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you're ready for this. So Isabel and Maria, they pry open the elevator doors in the hallway. Worth noting, a while ago, they announced that they shut down the elevators. So the elevators are completely out of order. So they pry their way in there so they can just get inside the shaft itself. So they get in, they take a seat on top of the elevator, actually. And Maria is taking a look at the gash in Asia's hand and she helps her clean it up and wrap it.
Okay.
And this is like the heart to heart moment. Yes. So Maria asks Asia where she learned to fight like that, by the way. And we just get a flashback to Asia beating the shit out of people in prison.
Right.
So yes, I did bring that up earlier.
Yes.
Maria also lets Asia know that their father passed away 2 years ago from cancer, something that Asia hadn't known.
Okay.
She then apologizes to Maria for abandoning her back then. She's regretted that decision every day of her life for the past 10 years. Maria just smiles softly and says, well, you can't change the past.
Mm-hmm.
Asia just wanted to make sure she knew that now in case they don't make it out of here tonight. The family, led by Lily, has been scouring the entire building, looking everywhere for the girls with no luck. As Lily walks down the hall, she stops and stares at the elevator doors. There's a speck of blood there where the two doors meet. Asia and Maria have been climbing the ladder within the shaft, trying to go up to the top floor. Mm-hmm. And they've made it up quite a few floors at this point. When down below, they hear the doors open and Bob climbs in, seeing them up above.
Like climbing chase feels different. I hate it. It's creepier to me.
It just feels like there's so much more chance of falling and like just the anxiety and the you're like you're shaking your heart. Like,
It's already scary climbing that high.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Exactly. So Asia takes a shot at Bob with the shotgun because she's holding onto it, but she misses. And Bob starts making his way up the ladder. Asia tries desperately to reload the gun while on the ladder, but it's not an easy task.
Yeah.
And she finally gets it, but then the gun doesn't fire. So that was pointless. So she throws the gun down the shaft and it does hit Bob in the head, but it doesn't affect him.
Right.
She's like, oh, okay. Another person emerges through the elevator doors that the girls are passing, but they manage to fight them off, sending them falling down the shaft, hitting Bob on their way down.
Oh, amazing.
Bob slips off the ladder, but holds on to the axe, which has hooked itself very precariously on one of the rungs.
Yeah.
But the girls get off the ladder and enter through the doors on this floor. It is the 9th floor.
Oh, where
Lily and a ton of members of the family are just standing there waiting for them.
Right.
It's over. Lily says, no, it's not, Asia replies, and the family all laughs at her. But Asia reminds them that they need her alive for the sacrifice, right? So what they're going to do is they're going to let Maria go, or Asia's going to jump down the shaft, killing herself. So selfless and so misguided, Lily says. Do you even know whose life you're fighting for? And then Maria's like, Lily, no. What the fuck are you talking about? Asia asks. Well, Lily continues, didn't you ever think, how exactly did your dear sister come from being just another one of our sacrifices to have a chance to join our family? What deal has she made?
Oh.
The deal pops up on the screen.
Oh.
Let's get filled in. So we flash back to the night Maria arrived as Lily explains to her that she will join them in praising their Lord. And when the time comes, she will be able to put her name on the list so long as she kills her sacrifice. One death for one life, a small price for immortality. But Lily tells her that if she ever tries to run, doesn't find an offering, or breaks her word, they will kill her. So there's a montage of Lily serving as a maid at the Virgil, as she explains that she never wanted to hurt anyone, but she really had no way out of this deal. It's really not her fault at all. They just kind of forced her into it. So she did what she had to do, and she put up her old coworker, Isabel Davison as her sacrifice. But instead, Asia showed up in her place. And if she doesn't offer up a sacrifice tonight, she will die. So back to the present. Lily says she feels so sorry for Asia. She's essentially done all of this for nothing. Kevin grabs at Asia, but she tries to fight him off and pulls back. But she takes one too many steps backward and falls down the elevator shaft. What? Time slows down as Asia falls back to her death. But don't worry, Bob catches her ankle from the ladder.
Oh, my God, ow. Do you think, I wonder how far you'd have to fall? Out. Yeah, for it to just like, you know?
Ew, yeah, right? Oh. That's a good question. And I don't want to think about it too much.
Anyways.
Anyways, Bob drags Asia back up to the top where Lily gives her a nice little non-lethal stab to the stomach with the machete. Now we go see the head, she says.
Oh.
And off they all go into, and by all I mean like that core family group.
Yep.
They go into a secluded and very cold section of the ninth floor where a pig head is speared on a pole surrounded by lit candles.
Mm-hmm.
Pig on a stick? Really? Asia asks. Lily tells her to show some respect before shoving her fingers in Asia's wound. And she then brings that blood over to the pig's nose.
Oh.
And behind the pig, there's this giant red pentagram window.
Right.
And a large dark shadow looms within it. And it's like the devil.
Yeah.
Shadow of the devil.
Awesome.
And like the devil's peering into the room. And then he reaches through the window. And he's still a shadow. So he's like a shadow on the floor. And his shadow goes along the floor beneath the pig. And then like goes up into the pig head.
The pig does not start speaking.
The unclean spirit has entered the swine, says the pig.
Okay. Yep. Okay. What does this look like? How does this look? Okay. Is it funny?
It's like, yes, but it's so gross. This pig head is so nasty.
Yeah, it's a good balance.
Yes, but it is obviously comedic in the sense that it is a talking pig head that is the devil.
Right, right.
So that's, like, you know.
Interesting like, that it's a pig as well. Usually it's a goat. Right?
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. We went with pig.
Okay.
So that's nice. Lily is like, hey, we got you a new offering. And Kevin also says that they brought along Ray and Maria because they both have betrayed the family. Lily actually tries to defend Ray a little bit, saying that he just had a bad lapse in judgment and he felt sorry for the girls. The pig devil calls Lily a liar and then says that Ray is out. So this fleshy tendril that hangs from the neck of the pig begins to move toward its head and it wipes Ray's name from its flesh. So it is at this point that we realize that the list is written on the pig head.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where the list is. And then the pig is like, kill him, Lily, or die. Lily begs her lord not to make her do this, but he does not budge. So Lily takes a cleaver and approaches Ray, teary-eyed.
Right.
I can't let you go. She mutters. I made my choice. Now it's your turn, darling, he replies. Lily takes a breath and then slits Ray's throat, killing him.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, we did see that one coming.
We did.
Poor Ray. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't a good person, but in this like situation,
he could have helped us. He could have turned around and maybe learned, but no chance.
Exactly. Now Maria is up. She begs for mercy, asking for another chance. She knows she should have never helped her sister. Asia lets out like a very disappointed, like, what?
Yeah,
like, why are you doing this? The pig orders Maria to kill her sister. And Asia's begging her not to, but Maria simply apologizes and approaches the pig.
What?
Write your name and join us, he says. Maria grabs the pencil that dangles from the pig's ear, by the way. It's on like a chain. So it's just like convenient.
A little earring.
Yeah, and she writes her name upon his skin.
Oh, my God.
Now seal the deal, he says. The two figures holding Asia bring her over. And Maria apologizes and said that she wishes they had more time, but this is the only way. Maria raises the blade to her own throat and cuts it. Very sad.
Oh, my God. Like, dead.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So everything goes slow motion again. They do this a lot. And the whole room just stares in shock. Asia falls to the ground next to her sister as she dies and reaches for her hand. I'm so sorry, Asia says. Maria's weak dying words are, don't be, go fuck them up.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
And she will.
Yeah, she does not have to be asked twice.
Mm-hmm.
The dramatic music kicks in as Asia reaches for the cleaver and turns to the family that remains in the room, which is Lily and the five original members from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
One death for one life, mutters the pig, as we look upon its skin and see that Maria had actually written Asia's name instead.
Oh.
So that's why Maria
okay,
died.
But what does that mean for Asia?
That would mean that Asia is immortal.
Right. But she's immortal, but she's like now in this Satan cult.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to kill her anyway because she's going to be she's going to betray them, obviously. Right. She's not going to be like, okay, I'll be part of the cult. Thanks, sis.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
So Asia swings the cleaver at the pig, slicing off the piece of skin with her name on it.
Oh.
And she puts it in her pocket.
Oh, cute.
Lily screams in disgrace that Maria sacrificed herself to make Asia immortal. Oh, no. So Asia's body heals itself of all its cuts and bruises.
I didn't even think about – think. I'm just so happy the hand is intact again.
The hand is good. The hand's chilling.
Interesting. See, if I knew that it was going to fix itself, if I was going to become immortal, I think I would do it. You know?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't – I don't think that was on her mind at all when she did that. Like, no. That, you know, you can't really take that into consideration. But now in hindsight, if I had hindsight on my
side.
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
So Lily screams for all of the family members to get that piece of skin and erase her name. But Asia wastes no time in her own attacks. She flings the cleaver across the room and impales Bob in the head. He falls to the ground. Mm-hmm. The others grab weapons from the walls. There are just weapons everywhere, by the way, in here. And another fight sequence occurs where Asia is just an absolute badass per usual.
Of course.
She uses chains and hooks to wrap up two of the guys, killing them for the time being. And then she takes out Kevin with a spear that she shoves through his torso and into the wall behind him.
Mm.
And then she once again beheads Sharon by slicing right through her neck.
Yes.
Bob wakes up again, unfortunately, and he's quite strong. So he pins Asia against the wall. But this breaks some pipes behind her that I guess are part of what is making this room really cold. So Asia takes one of the pipes and bends it to aim at Bob and it, you know, distracts him enough so that she can then flip him around and she pushes his head into the pipe so it goes through and like out his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire room is freezing now and the fans above are producing snow. So it is now snowing in the attic.
Okay.
I don't know why it's cold up here. I don't know if it's because of the pig head or
yeah,
like.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
But now it's like snowing, which is kind of fun.
That's cute.
And the other family members are waking back up, but because Asia trapped them in their deaths, they can't escape. So like
right.
with Kevin being pierced on the wall, like he wakes up, but he can't do anything.
Oh, I never would think that.
I know, me neither. So there's guys that are wrapped in chains with like hooks in their stomachs. Mm. They can't move.
Right.
In the meantime, while this has all been happening, Lily has taken the pig head and put it on her own head. So now the devil is going to use Lily's body as a vessel to fight Asia.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
So pig-headed devil Lily and Asia are going to have a showdown now. And the devil's like kind of strong because he's the devil and magical. So it's going to be a tough one.
It is.
And there are unfortunately no words in the English language that I can use to explain the sequence properly to you.
I bet.
But it does start out with like Pig Lily like getting down on all fours and charging at Asia.
Yeah.
Like high freaking speeds. And then the fight begins and it's giving kind of like Resident Evil enemy, but if the Resident Evil enemies were super fast and agile and like And it's insane. Both Asia and the devil simultaneously do a horizontal flip in the air while sword fighting. And of course Asia is so badass that she can hold her own for quite some time.
Yeah.
Until the devil pins her against the wall with her own sword.
Mm-hmm.
Maria's voice comes from the pig's mouth saying, "You should have left me. I'd still be alive. I died because of you."
Wow.
Yeah, kind of rude of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Leave my sister alone, Asia says, before grabbing. Okay, so she grabs the pig's snout and then launches herself off the wall, pulling the sword out with her. And she does a front flip over the pig and pulls the head of the pig off Lily's body.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so then Lily screams because she's defenseless without the pig mm-hmm. head. Like, she's not the devil anymore. And she gets up, and then Asia is still holding the pig head. So she swings it at Lily, and then Lily goes flying across the room, and Lily's body gets pierced onto the pole where the pig head used to be.
That's fine. Yeah,
there's a lot happening. Yeah. I want my sister back, Asia says to the pig. Now, oh. And she's like holding it out in her arms in front of her. And the pig is like, of course you do. You know the deal. One death for one life. Asia insists that they can do better than that.
Mm.
So Asia spears the pig head into the ground with the machete and picks up a bottle of bleach. She pours the bleach over the pig skin and then lights it on fire. The names begin to burn away, and the family around the room dies for good, one by one.
Oh.
I'll see you in hell, Asia Reeves, says Lily before she dies. I fucking hope so, bitch, says Asia. Asia sends the flaming pig head on a cart through the room from which she came, parting the sea of cloaked family members. The cart soars through the open elevator doors where it plummets to the bottom and explodes.
Okay.
So the family turns and they see Asia walking from the room holding her sister's body mm-hmm. wrapped in a cloak. And she also holds Lily's key card, by the way. She took that.
Oh, good.
If I were you, I'd clear out, she says to the remaining members of the family, who honestly, I guess, just let her go because then she just like leaves and walks out the front door.
Hmm.
Out on the street waits the PI with his car, and he's just like waves at her.
Okay.
On the other side of the street.
Oh.
He's like, hey. And Asia just walks on over, and she places her sister's dead body in the back seat and notices that she, too, had gotten a bird tattoo.
Oh.
So this makes her smile for a moment, and the PI guy is just like, so what happened in there? And Asia just goes, rich people.
Yeah.
And then they hop in the car, and the PI glances in the back seat and tells Asia that he's sorry for her loss. Asia reaches into her pocket and pulls out the pigskin she had cut from its head. Instead of Asia Reeves, it now says Maria Reeves.
Mm.
The skin writhes in her hand as though it's alive. And suddenly, Maria sits up in the back with a large intake of breath, scaring the shit out of the PI. Yes.
Yeah.
Asia turns around relieved as she watches her sister's body heal itself.
Wow.
What happened? She asked. And the PI is like, yeah, that's a great question because you were just fucking dead.
Yeah.
And Asia says, I changed my name to yours. And then I killed all those motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
This is an extremely important detail because I missed it on the first time.
Okay.
She was only immortal for a second. And then she changed it. So when she fought everybody, she was not immortal.
That's so crazy.
Yes.
I assume she changed it like after the fight.
Yeah, no.
That's
I guess
wild.
She did it before because she says, and then I killed all those motherfuckers.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
I think.
The way she says it, that's what it sounds like, yeah.
Exactly. Maria smiles at her sister, and Asia says, I told you, I'm never going to leave you again. They share a tight hug. You know what? I don't even want to know, the PI says, and then asks where they're headed. I actually wouldn't mind some breakfast, Maria says from the back seat.
Oh my God, I'd be so hungry.
Right? Like, what a mood. And I was also hungry writing this, and I was like, ooh, yeah. That sounds good. So they drive off, and the Virgil explodes. Mm. And the movie ends.
Wow. I'm happy that they both lived at the end.
Me too.
I think it just, with the tone and everything, it just mm-hmm. would have been too much of a bummer for like, okay, yeah, Maria's dead.
And she's just dead.
But we got out. Hooray. Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm happy she came back. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It ended up working out pretty good.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. It's fun little comedy type vibe. It just was, like, making me laugh as I'm writing the script. Because I'm just like, we're so done. We're so done.
Yeah. I wouldn't think, but yeah.
I hope you watch this movie just to see how ridiculous these fight sequences are. And just
because I'm deader than I even think.
Yeah, exactly. You don't even know how dead you are.
Yeah.
But I only have two questions for you.
Mm.
So could you trap all the immortal members of the family in their deaths in the attic, i.e. right. wrapping them in chains, piercing them into the wall, etc.?
I don't think I would think to do this. And then could I even do it if I did think to do it? You know, I'm going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go three.
I did three.
Yeah.
Oh, look twins. At us. I love this for us.
Just dead together.
We're just dead. It's so fun. Can you defeat the pig devil lily being that is beyond superhuman because it's low key literally the devil?
There's a part of me that does believe power of love can beat the power of evil. You know, I've watched, it's what I've grown up on. It's all the media I've consumed.
That's true.
So, you know, with the power of love for your sister, can you beat, but then it's like you have to take in the physical aspect of it. Yeah. Because you have to like literally also be physically a badass. So I'm going to go seven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Good.
Thank you.
I went one on that one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the devil and whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like no big deal. It's like whatever. Yeah. So what is your act three score there?
So my act three score is 5%.
Yes. The mine is a 2, which nice. Is really
I actually don't quirky. Know. I don't know what we're about to come out to now.
Yes. You know, we're going to be pretty close, I think.
I think so. Okay. Not bad.
Okay.
It feels a little high, actually, but
okay.
You just got to roll with it. So my final overall score is 15%.
Mine was 16.
Yeah.
Yes. So we did end up with a 16. And here's why I'm okay with this. Because I sat there after I finished scripting and I did my score and I was like, do I need to do an act four? Like, is this too high?
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's not because I come back. For me personally, in Act One, there is the question, would you let your sister fend for herself as opposed to going undercover and trying to save her? I put 12 for that. Mm-hmm. So there's like a 12% chance I'm not even here.
Okay.
And then that gives me essentially a 4% being in there. So for me, I was like, me being a 16, I'm okay with. Yeah. Only because I might not be there. It's sure. It's technically, I would say it's technically a few percent. Maybe too high.
Maybe a few, but it's enough. Mm-hmm. It's low enough to get the point across that this movie is insane.
That it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So 16% for us.
Wow.
Which is probably our lowest in a while.
Yeah. It's a rare one.
Yeah, especially lately.
Mm-hmm.
The worksheet often boosts us.
Yeah.
But today it could not it could save not. Us from our fate. Unfortunately.
But wow.
Yeah. That was They Will Kill You. And it turned out that they did.
They did.
In fact, kill us. And don't you dare try and give yourself a high score for this episode. I swear to God.
If I see like the community score is literally at like 39, get out of here.
Y'all are banned
from
the Discord. Yeah. Because ain't no way. Ain't no way. But thank you guys so much for tuning in and hanging out with us this week. As always, check out the links below to find our Instagram, Patreon, and Discord, where you too can fill out an interactable worksheet to get your own score. So let us know, would you survive?